We are continuing and finishing up our series on 1 John, so if you're tired of hearing about love, then I guess you're in good shape. You'll hear about it differently in the coming weeks. And so we come to the last section of the letter of 1 John, which is a letter written to the church that is in division. It's divided over a belief of who God is and how Jesus is God, and then what that actually means for how we treat one another. And how we live together. And so I invite you to listen for the word of God for us in this ancient pastoral letter written to a church of long ago. So we're reading today from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, to the final verse, chapter 5, verse 21. And it is the final verse. You're going to think, wait a second, he skipped something, but it ends in a weird way. So listen for the word of God. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And God's commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts, and those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one. To those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not mortal. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. We know that we are God's children and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. This is the word of the Lord. We finished our reading this week by starting with the verse that ended our reading last week. It is the key verse, I think, one of the key ones in this letter. Let us love because God first loved us. Last week after worship, when that was the final scripture and the main point of the sermon and how we wrestled with 1 John, I was confronted with a conversation about the difficulty of loving other people. How hard it is to accept other people who think differently, who have different values, who are elite in their thoughts, who think they're better, who are different than we believe is correct, appropriate, or even decent. It's not easy to like other people, is it? It's definitely not easy to like people who are different, or those with whom we disagree, or those who are difficult. It's not easy. We live in a time in which there is great protest and resistance. Whatever you don't like, scream about it, fight against it, overturn it. We live in a time of a lot of anger, of the left against the right and the right against the left, and it spills over into who we are and how we are in the world. We live in a time of a lot of problems, but we don't seem to be solving many of them. The author of 1 John writes to a community that was also in a time of division. They are divided by diverging views of who Jesus was and diverging views of what it means to follow Jesus' example. And here, the letter of 1 John ends with the final argument of why we love, of what love looks like, and how it is directly related to faith. And in the midst of all of this language about love, all of a sudden we're talking about blood and water and spirit and testimony. What? If you go back, that hasn't been anywhere. Why did suddenly like somebody copy the wrong page and leave out a part of what the author was writing? Focusing on Jesus, who is of blood and water, not just of water. Scholars believe that that's tied back to understanding Jesus in only in Jesus' baptism as selected by God and loved by God, versus trusting in a Jesus who also is the Messiah because he died and gave his blood and his life for others. One is an easier route than the other. One is just about love and good things, and the other lifts up what the author has repeatedly said, that we know love in this, that Jesus gave his life for others. One is easy, and one is difficult. The way John writes, it seems like one is evil and one is good. One of the things I don't like about this book is it makes it seem really simple. It's black and white. This is of God. This isn't. It's really easy to know. Now, maybe I'm naive, but in life, it doesn't seem like it's always that easy to know. But I do recognize that it is easy for me to choose what is easy over what is difficult. I can tell by heads nodding that I am not alone. Why would you choose what's difficult? Life's already hard enough, isn't it? Why choose to be around people who are difficult? Life is already hard enough. Why choose to be around people that cause problems? Life is already hard enough. You know, Our author in today's scripture says, let us love not those who are easy, not those who are difficult. Let us love because God first loved us. Anne Lamott is probably one of the most famous Presbyterians these days. She is an author and a writer and a hot mess of a Christian, you might say in modern slang. And she's brutally honest. And one of her famous quotes is that you can safely assume you have created God in your own image if God hates all the same people you do. It is funny, makes you laugh, doesn't it? And then if we're honest with ourselves, you think, oh, ouch, that's brutal. It's close to home. It's her gift, I think, that God's given her. We live in a time where we struggle to really love as God loves us. That's what the whole book is, really just that sentence saying over and over. If you love Jesus, then you will love your brother and sister. If you don't love them, then you're lying about loving God. You love, we love, not because we're worthy or great or because we're smarter or better or sweeter or kinder or we have this secret knowledge. We love because we have been loved and we know love. And so, as we might say today, we pay it forward. Whereas John Calvin wrote, all you could do is say thank you. And the way you say thank you for God's love is by loving in return. Now, that's hard to do today with people who have maybe a different perspective on our president than you do. Or people who have a different perspective on the teacher strike than you do. Or North Korea. Or the problems that we're facing. Or people who have a different perspective on race or class or social issues. It's hard to do with people who have different social skills than you. People who behave differently and speak differently. It is hard to do with people against whom we have grudges, or people who have hurt us, people who we don't want to forgive, people who have not forgiven us, people we automatically mistrust versus choosing trust. It is hard to love difficult people. It's a good thing that none of us are difficult, right? Amen. Curiously, the letter ends not talking about love, but about idols. Little children, keep yourself from idols. We make idols all the time. At first I thought, well, this is crazy. You know, maybe someone just like put the wrong verse in at the end. This is like the most insane way to end this letter. It's the only time the word shows up. The very last word of the book, idol. Only time it shows up. I mean, it's almost the same letters as love. Is that the problem? We make idols all the time. Idolatry is worshiping a false god. It's worshiping a god you've made with your hands or you've made in your mind, like Anne Lamott says. Idolatry, in the end, is what 1 John has been talking about all along. You worship the God you have created, the God who lets you do what you want to do, the God that lets you love who you want to love and hate who you want to hate, the God who wants you to have an easy life, the God who just comes and pats you on the back and says, well done, good and faithful servant, here's a brownie. But that's not the God that is. The God that is the one that Arthur Ashe evoked, who pushes you to stand, to take a stand, to do what you think you cannot do, to do what you cannot do, that only God can bring you to do. Idolatry is the end of the book, because idolatry, as it is throughout the whole Bible, is the mortal sin. It is the sin of all sins. Worshiping that what is not God as God. Whether that be ourselves, whether that be our own vision of what we want God to be in order to justify what we want. It is a slippery slope. Slippery, isn't it? I don't like this about this person. I deserve to be treated like this. How dare they talk to me. I don't deserve that. I deserve better. I'm important. I should be noticed. Now, I didn't tell you who had that conversation with me last week after church. He didn't seem to understand the sermon or the scripture at all. It was as I was driving home that I realized that I was completely clueless about the scripture. It was me. Our problem, our idolatry, is oftentimes rather than putting God in the center, we put ourselves in. I deserve this. I should have that. I should be treated this way. I'm a good person. And yet what God is saying is not that you're not important. Not that you should be walked on. Not that you should be treated like dirt. But that God is the center.
We love because God first loved us. So let us love, not because we choose to, not because we want to love that person, not because it's politically correct or kind or the right thing we should do for our political party. Let us love because God first loved us. Amen. Amen. As the band comes up to play our next song, I'm going to introduce a little thing we're going to be doing during the rest of church. And you might be wondering why there's a garbage can in church. Maybe you don't wonder anymore when you come to church. But we have some things up here, and we're going to actually be smashing idols. And so as we sing this song, I want to invite you to be mindful and be praying about the slippery slope that we all face in terms of idols and loving as we want to love or loving the God we create in our image. We're going to be smashing idols if you'd like to. As we come up for communion a little later, so I'll prompt you. But you'll see that these are not cookies, so don't eat them. But there are some idols that I made that we can smash and break in the garbage can. It'll be up to you to decide what image you want to use, whether it's another one, or it's a person, or it's a heart, a symbol of love, or a star. You'll be invited to come up and smash that. And so as we sing, grateful for God's grace, loving because God first loves us, I want to invite you to be mindful of maybe what are the idols that you worship rather than worshiping God? What are the ways in which you create God in your own image? Or love the people only that you want to love versus loving the brothers and sisters that God has given us. So be mindful of that. Pray as we sing, and then we'll be smashing idols together. Let's stand here.